Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the Two-Tone Blue.
We're going to let the past do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
That's right, you know the drill. A Friday tradition, 6 to 8. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We are streaming all around the world on The Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport. He is the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. Calvin Smith behind the glass, feeling good today on a Friday as the Titans. Boys, they're 4-4. They're at 500. We got a 500 club here in Nashville as they get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers this weekend. And once again, Teron, you look back to the previous game against Tampa Bay and Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston is probably my Mac Daddy of the week because he helped the Titans out big time. But there were some questionable decisions by Mike Vrabel, but ultimately they end up getting the win to improve their record to 4-4.
A win is a win is a win is a win.
A win is a win.
Isn't that correct?
A win is a win. No style points in the NFL. Doesn't matter how you got there, as long as you get there.
You would think Rome is burning if you go to Titans Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, social media, period. But end of the day, it was a win that they gathered. And, I mean, I don't really think that there's a whole lot to be upset about. This team scored 27 points. This is a team that totally, collectively, in the last 2 weeks has scored 50 points. After going two games, scoring one touchdown, I don't exactly get what the big fuss is. But, I mean, you know, end of the day, people love a whole lot of points. They love, you know, deep passes. They love fireworks in the end zone. And this just isn't the team that's going to give you that. They're going to give you really good drives. Well, at least now that's what they give you, you know, with Ryan Tannehill. And I think it's something that people should take pride in, just the fact that they're able to move the football.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can question, you know, fake field goals and fourth downs and all that. And, look, those are things that I think Mike Vrabel has to work on. But as you say, a win is a win, and this offense continues. They weren't as good as they were the week before, but they still put up the 27 points, albeit with a little help from the defense. Jonnu Smith, though, was somebody that really stood out to me, Teron, as he fills not, and fill in is probably the wrong phrase to use, but he's becoming one of the top targets on this team. And I think you have to credit working with Ryan Tannehill during the preseason and, you know, getting reps with him. But he's also just a good player. And with Delanie Walker injured, Jonnu Smith is somebody that you want on this team.
And he's not only a good player, he's a hard worker. Today, right? I posted it on Twitter. We're waiting for Vrabel to come over for his Friday wrap-up. And I hear a jugs machine. I look up. It's 81 on the jugs machine. Now, hat tip to Khalif Raymond also, because he ran over there and he was on there too. But these are the type of things that make you a more consistent player. When it comes to catching the football, the best way to get better at it is by catching it. And the best way to get better at it also and to catch the ball really well is through confidence. And that's what you see him developing. He is a guy that is becoming a main weapon for Ryan Tannehill. In 2 weeks, 10 targets. He's come through on 9 of them and 100, I think it's 162 yards and a touchdown. So make no mistake about it. That is something that is coming along well. But for me, right, the big change has happened. Marcus Mariota to Ryan Tannehill. Hey, listen, I know you guys love Marcus Mariota. He could probably win mayor of Nashville if he ran. But, I mean, listen, we have to face the facts. This offense is better with Ryan Tannehill. And I actually – we have asked Mike Vrabel about that consistently, got him to touch on different things. But when you look at what they did on a couple of these drives, mainly the one to make the score 27-23, there's just something that's happening that is different from before. This is what Mike Vrabel had to say about Ryan Tannehill and what's different.
Well, I think the biggest thing that Ryan did probably yesterday is he got us into two great checks. He got us into two blitz zero checks that allowed us to protect it just long enough. Understand when they're in blitz zero, however many you guys have blocking, they're going to have one extra, right? And so you just have to kind of keep adding guys to the protection to force the free guy to be as far away from the quarterback as possible. And he did that twice. Threw a great pass to Humphreys on third down, threw a great pass to Tajay on third down. So you're going to have to pick up some critical third downs along a 10 or 12 play drive that it comes down to dropping back and finding the guy open pretty quick.
That's head coach Mike Vrabel on Ryan Tannehill and what has made this offense maybe a little more efficient with him at quarterback. Now, you want to break this down to what Coach Vrabel was talking about.
Yeah, because he mentioned some really good points, and this is kind of different. Not kind of. This is different from what you saw last year. And here's the thing, right? In Matt LaFleur's offense, the checks against blitzes, the receivers going hot, that was kind of built in, right? It was just automatically supposed to happen. So I found that out a little bit further when I asked LaFleur just on the side, just to talk a little bit, tell me a little bit about Mariota and them not like doing the Peyton Manning thing, right? You see the blitz coming from the right-hand side. You take the running back from the left. You move him to the right. Now he's accounted for. I said, why isn't that happening? And he went into just how they have that built in, right? Okay. It obviously didn't work a lot. I mean, you look at the Ravens game. They got annihilated, 12 sacks. There were issues. Now, here's the thing with Tannehill, right, and with Arthur Smith. And Coach Smith stopped short of saying that it's totally different in the scheme, but it is different because the quarterback now has that liberty to see the blitz, make adjustments, and that's what Vrabel was talking about. There were two times where he did it on that long drive, right? And the thing is now when Vrabel mentioned making that wide, that rusher, the free rusher, the furthest away from the quarterback, see, when running backs, when they're checking blitz pickup, they're going inside out, right? The quickest way to the quarterback is what? From the middle, right? So he's checking inside and to outside. If no one's coming inside, he'll take the outside guy. If someone's coming inside, he's taking him. The quarterback has to understand that far rusher is free. How do you account for that? Quick throw. And that's what you saw on the pass to Adam Humphreys on third and four. He went to him quickly, and that accounted for that blitzer. These are the things that are different, and this is something that Tannehill brings to the table. Truth be told, he's not getting rid of the ball faster than Mariota is. In fact, he's, as we'll get into a little bit later, he's the fifth rated holding on to the football, right? 2.88 seconds. Mariota is holding on to the football 2.84 seconds. Guess what else happened this in the last two starts? The offensive line, their pass block win rate, holding their block over 2.5 seconds or more, it went from 10th in the league to 23rd. Surprising, right?
But yeah, because I mean I'm almost speechless because it appears like he's getting rid of it quicker. It appears like the offensive line has been blocking better and that he's had more time.
Decisiveness is more than just getting rid of the football quickly. Decisiveness is knowing where to go with the football.
What is it that you always said about this? That when
staying
they
on schedule?
Staying on schedule, and he has a plan.
Right.
Mariota didn't have a plan. I mean, maybe he did, but Tannehill's plan is more efficient. You can tell that he walks up to that line of scrimmage and goes, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and I think Mariota had a plan, but the execution of that plan, that hesitation that he had, that
he didn't have the confidence
within that is something that's different with Tannehill, and that's why you see. I mean, there's an assortment of stats. You look at, and actually, I have a post up. It went up earlier this week on ESPN.com. Check it out. It talked about the two main differences with Tannehill as opposed to Mariota, and it looked at third down efficiency, red zone efficiency. Chase, let me tell you something. This team went from 19th in the league as far as touchdown scored percentage in the red zone to third. In two games, they went to third.
With
why
a quarterback
is that?
Change.
Because you got 6 for 6 in the red zone right? And then obviously you had the interception that he threw in Denver. But I think the Corey Davis touchdown, that one, the Jonnu Smith touchdown, these are throws that the decision is made quickly, right? And you know where you're going with the football. There can't be hesitation. There wasn't hesitation. Both times led to touchdowns.
And what I think is helping is he targeted 9 receivers in the game against
spread that thing around.
Tampa Bay. And people will use, you know, I've had this argument with Darren on the Midday Show about, well, you know, Corey Davis, 5th overall pick. I mean, he's supposed to get a majority of the footballs.
Force the ball to anyone.
Right. If he's open, okay. But I think they have the weapons on offense that they should be able to spread it around. And Tannehill is doing a much better job of doing that than Marcus Mariota was.
Open man gets the ball. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
It's just like closed mouth doesn't get fed. Well, get open and you're going to get the ball. And that's something that, you know, Corey Davis was doing that before.
Yeah.
But, again, the hesitation would hurt him from being able to really showcase what he could do, right? And that really went for the whole team because the third and long situations, plenty of times those were due to sacks from, you know, at the offensive line where they got beat or sacks where Mariota held on to the ball. What's the other thing that has gotten better? There's less penalties too.
Yeah.
Right? Taylor Lewan had 0 penalties. That's a good thing. You know what I mean?
He's so playing now, well.
Listen, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. Me personally, I would like to see them get Derrick Henry downhill a little bit more. We'll get into that because I think when it comes to blocking on the move, I don't think, you know, tackle-wise, Lane Johnson, probably I would say he's better, but I don't think there are many players better than Taylor Lewan blocking. So that's why on the move, that is. And that's why, you know, I want to see them do some things that we could talk about a little bit later.
For the first time this season, the defense gave up more than 20 points, 23. I know a lot of people are like, oh, no, what's going on? No, nobody was like that because this defense continued to play well. Yeah. They were able to force turnovers. That led to the win. I mean, they got 2 touchdowns off of turnovers, essentially, and had a total of, what was it, 16 yards? There was a play that started from the 10 and one from the 6. Is that right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's what I like to see out of this defense led by Dean Pease.
Yeah, I mean, listen, 4 turnovers. They are plus 7 in the turnover difference in that ratio, right? They have 13 takeaways, 6 turnovers, so plus 7. That's pretty high ranking in the league too. So I think when you look at the defense, they are doing exactly what they need to do as far as setting this offense up. Granted, the offense has had its share of struggles. You know, we're not going to sugarcoat that. It is what it is. But when it comes time to execute, they're doing it in the red zone.
I brought this up before we go to break. I brought this up to you on Monday, and I want to bring it up now. Something that I liked, something that I walked out of that locker room going like, uh-huh, that's what I want to see. And that was we all gathered around Derrick Henry for his post-game scrum. The Titans won the game. Derrick Henry was pissed off. And you know why? Because he fumbled the football.
Yep.
And I was like, I love that about him. I know, you know, he didn't answer questions. He was short-answered. And it's like, hey, come on, you won, give us something. Uh-uh. That's a competitor right there. That's that Alabama Nick Saban football in him. That's him. I loved that.
It's accountability. And that was a focus in practice. Actually, I posted a video yesterday of them working on ball security drills. So rest assured, he's going to do everything he can.
Because he doesn't do that a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't fumble often, you know.
But
he's a solid back. I think, you know, some of this pushback regarding him is not necessary. We're going to get into Derrick Henry a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Tron Davenport. I am Chase McCabe. When we come back, we'll talk about the Carolina Panthers with David Newton. He covers them for ESPN. We will do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
I'll whoop your head, boy. You know why
we are Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Tron Davenport of ESPN. And we say hello to David Newton. He covers the Carolina Panthers for ESPN. The big game this weekend between the Titans and Carolina. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I think it is a big game for both teams. I mean, if either one of these teams wants to make the playoffs, I think it's almost a must-win situation, maybe more so for the Panthers because the NFC seems to be a little tougher right now. But I think it's a really big game for both.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. It is a big game for both teams. You had the Panthers. They had a winning streak, and then the wheels kind of fell off the bus last week. So what's the mindset? Just like, what's the general vibe of the locker room? You're in there every day. So going into this week, how has the mindset been from that team?
Well, first of all, you're right. The wheels fell off, the carburetor, the bumper, everything fell off that game. That was a disaster, and it was probably unexpected. I don't know if a lot of people knew just how good San Francisco was, but that defense is for real. The Panthers were playing great defensively going into that game, and they just got gashed in the run game, and that's where it all starts for them, stopping the run. And I think they'll get back to that this week. I think that was kind of an exception to the rule. In the first two games when they lost, when Cam Newton was in the lineup, both games were close. They could have won either one. So I think this will still be a close game. But I think this team will get back to the basics, and they'll focus on stopping the run and getting that pressure on the quarterback like they do defensively. And then for Kyle Allen, it kind of fell off for him completely last week. He had never had to really play for more than a touchdown behind, and they fell behind early, well, like 21-0. And so he started rushing things a little bit, and the one thing he's known for is being calm and collective and not doing that type thing. And he started getting happy feet in the pocket and just doing things that weren't Kyle Allen-like and not managing the game the way he had done in the first four games or his first four starts. So I think you'll see more of that this week. So it's going to be interesting. I'm the mood in the locker room right now has been, we got to put that behind us, but we had this happen to us last year. Remember, they were 6-2 last year, lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 52-21, and I mean, it was the same type of situation, disaster for them. And then they lost the next week to Detroit by 1 point, 20-19, and then they kept losing close game after close game and ended up losing 7 straight, and a team that looked like a playoff contender just went in the toilet. So they understand that. They feel like they have enough veterans from the team now that they can avoid doing that again. So they're pretty optimistic they can get this thing righted.
David, you brought up Kyle Allen and the job that he's done. Of course, will be the starting quarterback. But my biggest question is with Cam Newton. What is going on with him right now, and what's going to be next for him?
Well, he's in Green Bay today because he's getting his foot reevaluated again. He's a little frustrated. Last week he was actually out at practice working on the side with a trainer, optimistic he could be back in a couple of weeks. And the pain in the foot just wouldn't completely go away. He wasn't even out on the side practicing this week. I know the rain may have had something to do with that, but he just wasn't out there. And it sent some red flags up. And he ultimately decided he needed to go get another opinion to see what was going on there. So Ron Rivera talked to us today, and he said, I don't think they're going to look at surgery. I still think this is the thing that can heal. I still think this is the thing where you can get back at some point. But they just don't know, because this is one of those injuries. I mean, when you're talking about a guy that's 6'5" and 240 pounds and a Lisfranc, even though if they keep calling it a mild Lisfranc, the pressure from a person that size on that part of the body is going to be there. And so they just really got to be very careful with this moving forward and how they handle it, make sure it's completely healed. And the key here is they're not putting any pressure on Cam to come back. They're saying, look, because if you saw Cam's blog after, 3 or 4 weeks, he put it out there and said he basically lied to the coaching staff, said he was ready for the opener when he really wasn't. He said, I could barely run then. And that really showed up in the Tampa Bay game in week two. So they don't want him to be in that situation where he feels like he's got to lie to them. They want him to be honest and make sure this thing's right before they try to throw him back out there.
With or without Cam Newton, it's all about the double deuce, man. 22, oh, yeah. Christian Henry. I say that because you had an excellent post on Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry in regards to the Heisman situation. Make sure
you guys combine them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did. And that'd be a heck of a running back. But make sure you guys check that out on ESPN.com. Is this a Heisman payback for Christian McCaffrey? what's his mindset approaching this game?
Christian hates to lose at anything. This Connect Four, which he does love, or anything, he just hates to lose. When I was doing a story last week on him, I talked to some people back at Stanford, and Solomon Thomas, their first round pick back with the year that Christian came out with the 49ers, and he was Christian's roommate, and he told me about the string of broken remote controls from when Christian would lose a game. So he doesn't like to lose, but he does feel like he should have won the Heisman that year. So when we pay back, He doesn't blame Derrick Henry on this. He knows that that was out of his control, but he feels like he – I think it kind of drives him. Not that he needs much to drive him, because he's got that inside drive that is – it's what you have from your top elite athletes. It is very rare that makes him just want to go out there and perform at a level that not many people can perform at every week. But what he's doing this year, I think, is showing just how special – he was in that 2015 season when he and Derrick Henry went head-to-head for the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think he should be in the MVP conversation. I know people got Aaron Rodgers up there and Russell Wilson and some other players up there. But what Christian, if they can get to the playoffs, if they can say they can win 10 games, and Christian's going to carry this team like he's carried them, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks, even against the number one defense in the league last week, he had, about 150 total yards from scrimmage. So that was impressive enough, because San Francisco was barely allowing that in their last three games to a team. So I think he's the real deal. I think he's probably the best all-around back in the league. The way he runs between the tackles now and the physical strength he's showing there has been unbelievable. He can do it all. I mean, there are very few guys. I go back to guys like Marshall Faulk back in the day. He's that kind of a player, maybe better inside between the tackles than Marshall Faulk was. So he is a guy they're going to lean on, and that was what they were kind of upset with Kyle Allen about last week, was the fact that Christian was actually having a pretty good game, and when they cut the gap to 14 there early in the third quarter, Kyle went away from Christian. He started throwing the ball deep and trying to make things happen instead of just trying to come back slowly, and They've got to lean on him. Kyle's got to just trust that and let that kind of work it out. And I think Christian can carry this team if the offensive line can hold together.
I got a good laugh when you said the multiple broken remotes, because listen, I'll tell you a quick story from me in college. I was playing one of the DBs in Madden, and he scored a fluke touchdown on me. I took the PlayStation and threw it out the window. So I could understand the competitive nature that he has. That being said, if you see McCaffrey in person, right, you don't realize until you see him in person how small he is. How is it that a guy at this size can handle that workload?
He is as solid for a guy that really is 5'11", and he probably looks shorter than that in person. He is as solidly built as any. I'm going to call him a machine, because he really is a machine. And what you saw when he first came in the league in 2017, remember, this guy's only 23 years old. And the work he's done on his body in the last couple of years, I mean, a picture came out of him during the offseason where he had to wear a tank top and his arms or his guns, as we like to call it, looked like, my God, what happened? What has Christian McCaffrey been doing?
I saw that picture.
And, yeah, and Christian was almost embarrassed to talk about it. He said, I don't know why y'all focus on that. And I said, because look, you put it side by side with the picture from last year, and there's a marked difference there. So, yeah, he wants to improve himself in every single facet, whether it's diet, it's his workout program. I mean, the story I wrote last week, I think, summed it up pretty good, because I was talking to David Shaw, who's a Stanford coach, and he said, I remember the first time in 2015 when I told Christian, you can't practice on Monday nights because we got to get your body rested so you'll be ready for that Saturday. He said he didn't say a word to me, but he gave me a stare that uttered every single profanity in the book. And that, he said, it's like, you can't take football away from me. And that's what Christian McCaffrey is all about.
David Newton from ESPN covers the Panthers. He's here with us on Chase and TD. Earlier this week, I talked to Kyle Bailey from WFNZ there in Charlotte, and he said that he has Steve Smith Sr. on his show every week, and that Steve basically said that they never really replaced him until now with DJ Moore. Do you see that comparison? Do you think DJ Moore can be that type of receiver?
I'm laughing now, because I don't know if 30 years from now, 50 years from now, Steve Smith probably will say they never replaced him. you talk about competitive drive and egos and all that. There's not many built like Steve Smith. I mean, I covered that guy when he was at the Panthers. And he is a rare, rare person. Have they replaced him? Probably not to that degree, but I think he's a Hall of Fame type player. I think that DJ Moore could be that type player. He's not going to be as outspoken as Steve Smith. He's not going to be he doesn't have that anger inside him like Steve Smith does, but I think he's got a lot of the same qualities. The player that I've been kind of – I think one of the things Steve Smith said on that show was that the Panther receivers weren't getting the separation they needed to get. And maybe to a degree they were, but, again, I mean, if you look at Curtis Samuel last week, I think he had four catches and 11 targets, but as Ron Rivera reminded, of three or four of those were passes that, you know, Kyle Allen just rushed or shouldn't have thrown, and he had no chance to get to. So, yeah, I think these three say, I think DJ and I think Curtis Samuel have a potential to be special. Can they ever be what Steve Smith was? That's a pretty tall task, because Steve Smith was a special player.
Defensively, the secondary, we know that they've been pretty good. James Bradbury, somebody to watch out for. Ryan Tannehill starting for the Tennessee Titans. He's been known in his career to throw interceptions. What do you think this secondary is going to throw towards Tannehill?
I'm not sure what the secondary is going to throw at him, but I think it's going to be what the front four to seven is going to throw at him, because that secondary is only as good as the pressure they're putting on the quarterback. So they're going to be probably for the most part without their lead sack leader, Mario Addison. I don't know if you know, his brother murdered in Birmingham.
Actually
found out about it last Sunday night after the game. Funeral was today, so Mario has not been in town. He has not practiced with the team. So if he decides to play, it's going to be up to him. Rivera said they're going to ask him what he feels like he can do, but he hasn't been a part of the preparation, so they won't have him at full go. So they've got some other guys like Brian Burns. And I tell you who's playing like a beast right now is Bruce Irvin, and that guy's got a drive in him kind of like Steve Smith had. I actually talked to him last week, and I said, how would you describe your personality on the field? He said, dog. Then he looked at me and said, how many words have I got? I said, well, I'll give you two. He said, dog, dog. So I'm like, okay, I get it. So that's when the Panthers are most successful, when they're putting their pressure on them. They've got 30 sacks, which is, what, one less than New England, and New England's played one more game with them. They're on a pace right now to be close to the single-season sack record that the Chicago Bears had in 1984. Surprisingly, 84, not 85. They had 72 and 84. So if they can get back to that, stop the run, and put that pressure on Tannehill, because I think Tannehill has a habit of holding on the ball too long and making some poor decisions and having those interceptions, that's kind of be their game plan. They know they're not going to win the game by, you know, Kyle Allen carrying this team on offense, or even Christian McCaffrey, but they do believe that this defense, if they play like they had in the four games prior to last week, they can kind of get things back on track.
And it's funny you mentioned Bruce Irvin, because today in the wrap-up for the week, the presser that we had with Coach Vrabel, what does he say? Bruce Irvin is a guy that's starting to find his way in his in that defense. So that's an excellent mention there. And then when you look at this Titans offensive line, they're going to be minus their starting center. Ben Jones is out, folks. And this is the first time he hasn't started in 88 games.
Yep.
It was the longest streak. And also, just to piggyback off of what David said about Ryan Tannehill, I myself am guilty of this, saying that he gets rid of the ball quicker than Mariota. That is actually not the case. He is at ESPN. We have a stat that could track how quickly you throw the football. He's holding the ball the fifth longest time in the league before passing it. So David is spot on with that.
Yeah, especially that you talk about losing your center there. Dontari Poe has really been effective at getting that inside push, as Gerald McCoy has. So their inside push from those guys up front have really helped make these outside linebackers and their transition to a 3-4 really work. And defensively, they're doing a lot of things. They're confusing quarterbacks. I did a story last week on they've used 11 different formations on defense this year after their first, six games. And all of last season, they only used six different ones. So they're really mixing it up. They're keeping quarterbacks off balance and guessing. And I think that's what they need to have success.
David Newton from ESPN covers the Panthers for them. Hey, we appreciate the time today, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys look forward to seeing down here.
All right, that's David Newton from ESPN. When we come back here on Chase and TD, there's a pretty good player that was mentioned in that interview that we're going to take a deep dive into for the Carolina Panthers. I think you've heard of him. We'll do that next here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Yeah. If I can't do it, homie. We're back here at Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5, the game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN. 50 Cent?
50. It's a 50 Friday, baby.
I like it. I like it. Good job, Calvin, behind the glass. Appreciate David Newton from ESPN for joining us. So, some of the names we're about to bring up, you heard in the last segment.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. Not just running the football. He can catch it.
Do it all.
All-purpose yards guy. And quite honestly, I mean, I don't think he's going to win it, but he should be in contention for MVP.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, you have a guy who is getting 56% of the touches. 56% of the touches. 46% of total of the offense.
That's scary in many ways. It's scary because he's that good. It's scary that they rely on him that much.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the thing is, he comes through for them. And even when he's contained, he still has an impact. Watch the game, Panthers and Bucks over there in London across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
He still scored. They contained him for the most part. But
the Bucks
still
have done a really good job of containing him.
Doing right. I mean, everybody, for the most part, they've been able to contain the Bucks, that is, their rushing defense. But I think when you look at Christian McCaffrey, you know, the thing that you have to understand, and this is something that, you know, my man Emory Hunt says all the time, size is not a skill. And I think he is a guy that epitomizes that, because even though he's not the biggest back, and David Newton pointed to it, that dude can run between the tackles very well. And he's someone, and Mike Vrabel said that he's talking to his guys, keeping them aware, like, listen, just because he's not a big dude, that doesn't mean he won't hit you with a stiff arm or he won't try to run you over. He'll do that. And if you look at – I'm trying to remember which game. I don't remember which game it was, but I want to say Jaguars. I think it was the Jaguars. But he was running towards – he was, like, along the sideline. And he stuck – they thought he was going to step out of bounds. He stuck his foot in the grass and cut back. Man, the D tackle or DN, whoever he was, number 79, this dude just, like, I'm surprised he has any ligaments in his knee after the way he fell, man. Like, it was bad. So when you look at him, you have to really just – it's all about flowing to the football. That's the major thing. You have to flock to the football because he has the ability to make you miss or he'll run you over.
Yeah, so how do the Tennessee Titans – you're not going to stop him. But do like the Bucs have done and contain him, and because – you know, we know what this defense is capable of. They hold their opponents now 23 or less after last week. Mm-hmm. But Christian McCaffrey, he's going to get his touches.
Yeah, he's going to get his touches. And I, you know, when they use him in the passing game, I'm going zone. I'm going zone. I don't go man against him because I saw them use him in man, and like they'll motion him to number three. Like, they'll have twins on one side and motion him to number three. The two guys, one and two on that side, run clear outs. Like, they just run vertical. And then you see him run, and it's kind of like a choice route, right? But he'll sit at the top of the route and then accelerate across the field. They score touchdowns that way, man. Like, that dude he's a hard cover. So you definitely need to go zone. Listen, Jayon Brown, I think, is a guy that can be used to cover him. But I don't put that on Jayon Brown, especially a guy who's working with a groin that's kind of not all the way there. So for me, I'm going zone in the passing game. In the running, you know, trying to stop him running the ball, it's gap integrity, man. That's huge because he's a guy, and he'll do something that Derrick Henry did, right? Kind of like play peekaboo behind the offensive lineman. Look at Henry's 34-yard run. We broke this down on Talking with TD. And he kind of played peekaboo where he bounced out from behind the offensive lineman, behind the guard. And after he bounced out, it was kind of like a jump cut, and then he made a cut off of that. And it's just so hard for the linebacker, especially with a smaller guy like McCaffrey, to read and see behind the line of scrimmage. So that's why having that darn gap integrity is so important, because you give him a lane – that guy, he has the ability to take it to the house.
You brought up Talking with TD. Rate, review, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. It'll air right after this show as well. But you can get two for the price of one.
Buy one, get one free.
That's
every
right.
week, man. Sometimes you get buy one, get two free. And might I add, we're not from Portland, but we're the Trailblazers. You know what I mean? We're the ones that are bringing this play breakdown thing to Nashville. So, you know, it can be imitated from time to time, but it won't be duplicated. Well, let's put it that way.
A couple of other guys that the Panthers have on offense, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel. You heard me ask David Newton about DJ Moore. And Kyle Bailey from WFNZ was on this week. He brought up Steve Smith, and Steve Smith said they haven't replaced me until now with somebody like DJ Moore. Now, he's not Steve Smith yet, but he looks like here within his first few years in the league, he's well on his way.
Yeah, and what Steve Smith is talking about when he says that, it's the toughness with the football, right? And just being strong, like running through tackles. Turn into a running back. I mean, DJ Moore does that a lot. And he's someone that, you know, I think when you look at DJ Moore, you look at Curtis Samuel, these are guys, normally with a guy like Curtis Samuel, you don't say come up and press because he has that wiggle, right? But I think they really need to come up and press them and keep them from being able to get into their routes quickly. And that's going to force Kyle Allen to have those happy feet that he tends to have. And when he has happy feet, and when the timing's messed up, that leads to the interception. So they need to do that. Jarrell Casey's out. Jeffrey Simmons has to collapse that pocket. Howard Landry can't wait. They need to come.
And then Curtis Samuel has been another piece for the Carolina Panthers that I know when we did our training camp previews, everybody was like, Curtis Samuel, watch out for Curtis Samuel. Another guy, he's on my fantasy team, actually, that the Titans are going to have to contain.
Yeah, they use both of those guys to do stuff off of. Like, they'll have – them go in motion, and they'll run a toss or outside run to Christian Henry. Or I keep saying that Christian. I have a homie that's a clothing designer, and his company's called Christian Henry. So
we're going to talk about Henry coming up in just a second.
We'll get that going. But to McCaffrey, they do that. So it's all about free yards, man. You have a quarterback like Kyle Allen, you want to get those free yards. And that's what those three bring, and you can't forget Greg Olsen.
Look, Teron wants to talk about him, so we're gonna crank up the diesel truck. It's going to warm up during the break. When we come back, we will get into how to contain, that's a word we're using a lot, the how to attack the Panthers' defense, and that diesel truck is probably going to be a part of that. We'll do that when we come back. Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
This damn sunny days wouldn't be special if it wasn't for rain. Joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain. Death gotta be easy, because life is
Chase
hard.
And TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Many men.
Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport here with us as we talk some Titans here on Chase and TED, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And 50 Cent, our theme tonight. But we got to get into this Panthers defense and the way to contain and stop, attack that Panthers defense. Got to run the football. The big truck has to warm up Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, you got a team giving up 135 yards per game. You got to attack that. It's just, I struggle to understand, though, I mean, why they're giving up so much. I mean, you got Poe in the middle. You got Luke Kuechly behind him. And then you got a pretty good safety group. Eric Reed, they like to use him in the box. You know, Vrabel talked about that a little bit today. So, I don't know, man. I don't know why they're giving up so much, but you got to attack it. But here's the thing. Ben Jones is out.
That's going to hurt. Ben Jones comes out on the injury report. He will be out. And while we're on that subject, Delanie Walker out once again. Jarrell Casey, you mentioned in the last segment, is going to be out for the Titans. And then Roger Saffold still in.
He's out of the protocol.
So he's good. He's good to go.
He's good to go. So that'll be good. And it's interesting with that situation because it's almost like the reverse. Because it seemed like Saffold was going to be the guy that would be out because, I mean, he was someone who – he didn't finish the game, right? Ben Jones was out, but then he came back. But when he reported on Monday, he had more symptoms. So they upped the protocol, so to speak, and their attack at that. But, you have to run the football. I think, you know, when you look at Derrick Henry – like we said earlier, it's about getting downhill. They need to find ways to get him in that alley. I think when you look at some of the guards, you know, Saffold is he's an athletic guard, right? Pull him, I mean, pin and pull is a good thing. Like, they need to expand it and find more ways to get Henry downhill. And that's something that will definitely help them.
Do you trust Jahmyr Douglas at center?
Yeah, I think that's where the issue is.
Well, because there's another part to this question. But besides that, do you trust Nate Davis that's been banged up? Saffold is just coming off of an injury. They've had to replace players on the offensive line the last 2 weeks. Now, they've had the depth to do it.
Yeah.
But now you have your starting center out and Jahmyr Douglas that has been somebody that can slide in at guard. He's now going to have to play center.
Yeah, and when you have the starting center out, I think that helps, obviously, the defense. But, I mean, it's a bigger situation than it is when you're without a guard, right? Because your center's the quarterback of your line. He's the one making all the calls. One of the things that Mike Vrabel said about Ben Jones when I asked him about him possibly moving to guard, this was earlier in the year, he had mentioned Ben Jones, the intelligence, right? And that's something that's kind of like feature number one when you're talking about a center, just his intelligence and his way that he communication. So those are things that are huge, and he has to bring that to the table. But unfortunately, this week he won't because he's out. So that's something that they need Jahmyr Douglas to pick up.
So with the passing game, now we've seen good things with Corey Davis, with A.J. Brown, with Adam Humphries, everybody else that Ryan Tannehill likes to throw it to because he spreads it around. But how can they get that going against this defense?
I think it's matchups, man. And that matchup, Dante Jackson, right? He's a corner that – He's aggressive, and he's someone that's going to jump routes because he wants to pick it off and make a house call. I mean, that's just the type of corner he is. He's a very, very aggressive corner. He's a dog, and I think when you have someone like A.J. Brown who has put so much film out there about on being successful on the slant, it's very clear that they're going to run those crossing routes. So I think they need to hit those a couple times. But then after that, it's time to let's see a big play, right? Pump fake, three-step, pump fake. And then when he pump fakes, A.J. Brown explodes up the field. Throw that to the point. And that's the other thing, right? When you look at their defense, their pass defense, they use different looks. Sometimes they have that post safety with Trey Boston deep and Eric Reed down in the box. But then you'll also see – a lot of cover two looks, right? So in that situation where they run that slant, and they even go cover two man, right? So if they're going to cover two man, they run that slow go type of route. When A.J. Brown explodes up the field, Tannehill has to direct shot it. Like it can't have too much trajectory on it. It has to kind of ear hole him so that way he could get the ball, split the safeties, but get the ball before that safety is right there to break it up. So for me, that's one way that I would look at it. Bradbury is actually a pretty good corner.
Yeah.
And I remember him from Samford, watching him. I used to watch Bradbury and Jaquaski Tartt, the safety for the 49ers. Both of those guys were ballers at Samford. So I think really, you want to attack. I'm attacking Dante Jackson. That's what I'm doing. And ironically, this is something that goes back to the SEC. I got to talk to A.J. Brown about that, and he got to face him 1 year when he is at Ole Miss. Check it out.
At Ole Miss, you went against LSU a few times. Did you get the matchup with Dante Jackson?
Yeah, I went against Dante Jackson my sophomore year. I was a young one, young guy, trying to make plays on a vet. And he was real solid.
What do you remember particularly about his game, and what have you seen in your film study this week in preparation?
Now that I see his technique got a lot way better. He's still patient. He relies on his speed. He likes to jump things, but he's gonna be greedy. But he's patient at the line. He's just gonna play ball.
Are you expecting to see him like travel with you, or you think it's just gonna be whatever side you go to? You'll line up against that corner?
I don't know if he'll travel with me. But I'm definitely going to see him most of the game. So,
So you mentioned what you saw different from Dante Jackson, but how about corners overall? You know, going from SEC to here, is there a difference in what you've seen? Is it technique, strength, speed?
Yeah, most definitely, I would say the technique. I'm a big receiver, so, I mean, not a lot of guys are stronger than me. So I got good play strength, but at this level, it's really technique. And a lot of guys, technique sound. If you're not using technique, you just really out there wasting time. You got to be on the details all the time. So that's what I be thinking every time I line up. You know, so.
What has allowed you to make this transition smoothly like you have?
I say a lot of mental reps. I visualize when I get the chance, when I get a moment, what I do right here in this route. And like I said, a lot of mental reps and just really just keying in on small details, like, and then go back to techniques. So.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Rob Moore Monday, and he seems to really like you. Well, what's your relationship like with him? How did that develop into the point where, I mean, he spoke lonely of you when I talked to him?
I think it's just being there with him, spending time, letting him know that I care about ball. This is what I came to do. I'm a sports junkie, so that's how I feel. I think he kind of felt that from him. Because I go in there and talk to him all the time about what I can do different or what I can learn in this situation.
That's what he said over and over again. He was like, man, that kid loves ball. He loves ball. What do you love so much about football?
Man, honestly, like, I really love the process. You know, I'm not where I want to be at right now, but I got 8 games left for the playoffs, so I got plenty of time to just try to make, just keep working and just try to make my goals and, you know, just try to help up your wins. You know? So I really love the process, man. You got to go through things if you're trying to get somewhere. So,
last thing, who's going to end up with more touchdowns this year, you or DK?
I don't know.
Y'all have a wager?
No, we got no ways, but we keep, okay. Hey,
you keep a check. Yeah, I know. I see your Twitter. I see his.
I don't know, man. He's doing really well. I'm real proud of him. You know, especially after the injury he came from.
Right. Mean,
he's doing extremely well. You know, sky's the limit for him, man. But I'm definitely gonna say me. Of
there
course.
You go. That's what I'm looking for.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. Appreciate it, man.
AJ Brown with Teron Davenport. We'll take a quick break. Come back, reset this defense, because there's a name we haven't mentioned yet on the Panthers defense that deserves a lot of respect. We'll do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hour number two, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Again, you can rate, subscribe, and review. Not only do you get this show, you get Talking with TD. Just search Talking with TD in the Google Play, the App Store,
yes.
Spotify, GameNashville.com. It's everywhere. There's no excuse. You should listen to both shows. Talking with TD will come on after this. But Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN, Calvin Smith behind the glass. We're here every Friday from 6 to 8 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So we were talking about the defense for the Panthers. And there is a player that, I mean, you have to watch out for. He makes them what they are. Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, every once in a while, you have a prospect that comes along that just literally has everything you want from the position. Luke Kuechly is that guy, right? So when he came out of Boston College, he was a guy, I'm looking at some of his measurables, 4.58 in the 40, solid time for a linebacker. The thing that really stands out, 4.12 short shuttle. Right, so when you're able to marry straight line speed with quickness, lateral quickness, you have a really good athletic prospect. But it goes a little bit further, right? Because everybody in the league is some type of freak athlete. Like, there's something right. freakish about them. Well, here's the thing about Luke Kuechly. It's almost at a maniac level, right? Because when you look at his film study, it's maniacal. This is a dude that locks himself in a room, and he will know every single tendency of his upcoming opponent. Ryan Tannehill said it himself. You know, he said that he faced Kuechly a couple times, and it was literally a situation where he was calling out what was going to happen before he snapped the ball. That's got to – that is going to freak Jahmyr Douglas out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, that's going to be – I'm not
freak that's one thing out, I'm worried about.
Freak him out is extreme. That I know that's going to make him like, whoa. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it would make me that way, too, when you have a guy literally telling what's going to happen and moving guys within the defense to that spot that he knows that you're going to run to. I want to watch that battle. But when you marry that maniacal film study with freakish athletic ability, you have a Luke Kuechly, and that's why he's, in many people's opinion, the best inside linebacker in football. So it's definitely a tall order for them to find a way to do things on offense with him stopping them.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too. I mean, nothing again, no disrespect to Jamil Douglas or Ben Jones, but Ben Jones was even going to have his work cut out for him with a player like Luke Kuechly. He's one of those players that you just have to respect.
Yeah, and the good thing is football is a team sport, right? And it's 11 on 11, but Luke Kuechly kind of gives you 11 and a half. You know what I mean? So I'm going to be watching that, just the way those guys match up. He is someone that, I mean, there's a reason why he's always first to the football. And the way he closes on the ball is second to none. I think it's, you know, we talk about pin and pull, right? Using that technique and getting Henry in the alley. Well, here's the thing, man. You could get him in that alley, but you got that guy that could get from the middle of the field to the alley quickly. So now if you're doing things where, like, the touchdown that Derrick Henry scored, I want to say against the Chargers. I think it was – no, it wasn't against the Chargers. It was one of the games. It was a 13-yard touchdown, right? Very beautiful play design that Arthur Smith did. He had Corey Davis. First, what happened is Jonnu Smith went in motion from the boundary side, so short side of the field, to the wide side of the field. And then after he went in motion and got set, Corey Davis went from wide side of the field to the boundary side, the short side, and that took a defender out of there. And then they ran stretch to the outside, and it was Henry one-on-one with the DB, and it was a touchdown. That's something that you like to set that up, but against the Panthers, it's not one-on-one with the DB because Luke Kuechly is going to get there. So now you have to scheme away. Like, you have to account for him. So now it's either you're pulling a guard or you have that tackle, you know, get out there. Like, you have to do something to account for Kuechly because he makes plays that most inside linebackers don't.
Another player that probably deserves some respect is someone that I always liked when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's Gerald McCoy.
Yeah.
Now with Carolina. And before we get into him, I want to go off on a little bit of a tangent because I'm sure you saw this and know where I'm going. But football is truly a brotherhood. Yeah. Shout out to the Tampa Bay Bucs, some of his former teammates, showing up at Gerald McCoy's son's senior night that McCoy was unable to go to because they went a day early to San Francisco. Jameis Winston was one of those players that went. They went to support their former teammate. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, it was. And that, like you said, it is a brotherhood, and that's something that is a perfect example of that, you know. And now Gerald McCoy is singing Sweet Caroline right after wins with the Panthers. And he's someone that you plop in the middle of that defense. You put him next to Dontari Poe, and that's a nice tandem, right?
Yeah.
You have big and powerful. You have big, powerful, and fast or quick. They have a good thing going, and that's the inside of that offense, the interior offensive line. They have their work cut out for them. They definitely do.
Is Dontari Poe a player that just doesn't get enough credit?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that...
Because I remember him coming out, you know, that was talked about a lot.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys that doesn't stuff the stat sheet, right? And unfortunately, in these days, we have more people who evaluate based off of box scores than actually watching games. He's not the same player he was, like in Kansas City, right? You're not going to see that push, that quick disruption like he used to, but he's still someone that will occupy gaps, and he's someone that will keep guys like Luke Kuechly. He is a freak, but Luke Kuechly and Shaq Thompson, he's going to keep those guys free.
And then another guy, Brian Burns.
Yeah, Spider-Man himself, man. He's a guy the Titans had interest in. They were. I talked to him numerous times throughout the draft process. Talked to him the night before the draft, and then the night of the draft. And he said that they had interest, and he liked their scheme. You know, just the way he would envision himself in their defense. Obviously, it didn't happen. But you know, with Mario Addison, you know, the tragedy that he's encountered.
We heard David Newton earlier talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. With his brother. I think Brian Burns is going to get more snaps, and he's that guy. You talk about bending the edge and coming around, and he developed a spin move. He's a force to be reckoned with. So the tackles, the guard, the offensive linemen, they have their work cut out for them this week. Let's say that.
So do you think it's going to be the biggest test that they've had since Tannehill took over? I mean, they faced some pretty good defensive fronts this year.
That Bucs front is pretty good, man. Shaq Barrett with JPP coming back. I don't know about the biggest test.
I mean, every week's a test in the NFL. Yeah,
it's a challenge. Let's put it that way. It's a challenge. You know, that front seven, and this is a team that you heard what Newton said. You know, these are guys that are trending towards a record in sacks. So they get after the quarterback, and the advantage is they're able to do that with the front, right? They don't have to blitz guys out of the secondary like the Titans do, you know what I mean, to get that pressure. And hat tip real quick to Logan Ryan. Since 2018, he has more sacks than everybody but three teams. He has more sacks than everybody, every secondary except for the Panthers, the Chargers, the Bills, the Vikings, and the Cardinals. Hat tip to Logan Ryan. Seven and a half sacks in the last year and a half.
John Robinson, I know you listen. You're listening to the show right now. Pay that man his money. Okay? Pay that man. Keep Logan Ryan. Do not let him go. He is too important to this team right now. Or I mean, just overall.
Yeah, and even as a leader. He's another one of those guys,
he's a
right?
Glue guy.
Glue guy. Excellent, excellent, excellent word for him. And that's what he is, so. Definitely a key piece.
He is Teron Davenport of ESPN. I'm Chase McCabe. The deadline was this week, the trade deadline. The Titans stood pat, but there were some rumors out there. We'll discuss that next. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we rolling, back here, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN, Calvin Smith behind the glass. So the trade deadline was on Tuesday, and look, we've seen more trades the last few years at the NFL trading deadline than we used to. It's picked up. I don't, you know, for whatever reason, and it really a couple weeks before the deadline is when it started. Jalen Ramsey, of course, was traded from Jacksonville to the LA Rams. You had Peters that was moved as well. How about Sanu going to New England, and then Emmanuel Sanders goes to San Francisco and just already makes an impact with them. So there were some pretty significant trades. The Tennessee Titans did not make any trades. However, Tuesday was interesting.
Window shopping.
Because it comes out that they're trying out some quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks came in for a workout, and then, okay, so you kind of start wondering, all right, are they really going to do what I think they might do, and I never truly believed that they were going to trade Marcus Mariota. And then there was a rumor that he's going on IR and all this craziness. But ultimately, John Robinson decides he likes his team the way it is. He's not going to make any trades. There was nothing really that I wanted to see because I didn't want to give up a lot of capital unless it was going to be some sort of upgrade to the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Quality offensive linemen, just they're not going to become available via trade.
Right.
That's cancel that. But I think you can get certain positions that this team could use a jolt at. For me, if they were going to make a trade, right, if they were going to turn the window shopping into making a purchase, I think Kyler Fackrell from the Packers would have been the guy that they should have traded for if they were going to make a deal. He will be a free agent after this year, so he's someone that I'll be talking about during the offseason. And right now he's stuck behind the Smiths, right? And you look at the money that they have invested in the outside linebacker position with Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, they're not going to re-sign Fackrell. So he's going to hit the market. I think getting him in here and into this program would have been a good thing for them. The guy, he had 10.5 sacks, so we're not talking about chopped liver. But when you look at him as a player, he brings everything that this Titans team would want. You look at how they're dropping Howard Landry back into space and into coverage at times. Look, that's I understand you want versatility. Me personally, it's see ball, get ball. That's how I'm what I'm telling Harold Landry to do, right? But Fackrell is a guy that you could do that with. So I think he would fit in well. I'm thinking maybe with Sharif Finch coming back, they feel like they didn't need to address that position. So if you look at right now, right, you got Sharif Finch, Cam Wake. Remember, Wake is a combo. He's a guy you could use as a DN and sub package. So Finch, Wake, Landry, Kamale Correa, who is starting to flash, Reggie Gilbert. Those are the guys they're using for the most part. I think
I like Reggie Gilbert, by the way. That was a trade that
was a good
made,
trade.
Made in camp. So.
A teammate of Fackrell's. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I know that DeAndre Walker will be there next year. He's a guy. Roberson is in the mix, obviously. Me personally, I take Fackrell over either of them. Now, granted, you used a fifth-round pick. Or was it? Yeah, was fifth round pick. On Walker. So we'll see what happens there. But long story short, Fackrell is a guy I would have looked at trading for.
I'm glad they didn't make the move for Kenyon Drake because I never understood those rumors. Yeah, I didn't really think that was going to really be anything. It wasn't going to be a fit. The only connection was obviously with Derrick Henry. But I was like, okay, sure, that's a rumor. Arizona ends up getting him. But offensively, there was just nothing that I felt they didn't need a receiver. They were good there. And the moves that John Robinson has made, cutting Darius Jennings, Khalif Raymond was added to the active roster. Looks like they're going to use him some in the return game. Yeah, I think the moves that needed to be made, he didn't have to trade for.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, Fackrell would be the one that I would have done.
He was never going to trade Marcus Mariota either.
Yeah. I don't think that was happening. The Jennings one kind of puzzles me. And I know kick return is not as big of a thing as it used to be, but, I mean, this dude led the league in kick return yardage, average, 31.7. It was the most the highest average, I think, since the 1970s. This is a team that set the record for kick return average as a group with 32 yards per kick return. Jennings also was a part of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him getting in the game as an X. I mean, he's a guy they used in the slot sometimes. They used him across the formation. It's confusing, but, end of the day, they kind of forecasted this whole thing with Ben Jones, right, under protocol. And that's the thing. When it comes to concussions, man, Vrabel does not play that stuff.
No.
He played the game. His son plays the game. He takes concussions very seriously, and he will – walk on eggshells in order to make sure that stuff is right for the player. I salute him for that.
I do too.
You know what I mean?
I have no problem with that.
So, that's a good thing. They took measures by signing Grasso. I thought it was really interesting that Jennings was cut.
Let's go to the chief correspondent of the Khalif Raymond fan club, Calvin Smith. I know that you are excited for his opportunity.
He actually got in last week on a couple plays too. He ran one really nice go route, and you see this guy run down the field. He's really hard to keep up with. Now, a lot of volume, no, but I still believe in Khalif Raymond getting down the field.
Yeah, he'll get down. And actually, that route you were talking about, he ran the go route, and Corey Davis had the in-breaking route underneath it. So he did his job, right? He cleared it out. I tell you the thing that I like about Raymond, and you could go back to the Eagles game where he made a couple plays across the middle. The dude has no fear. You know what I mean? He has none, absolutely none. And you got to respect that out of a smaller receiver, right? He plays like he's bigger. He'll work that muddy area of the field in the middle. So, look, man, he's going to get a shot, right? He may even get a chance to return punts. Me personally, I was sticking back there, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Raymond is playing like someone who has nothing to lose, right? His career is on the line every snap that he plays. You know what I mean? So he's going all out. And he runs – we were watching practice Thursday, I was watching practice with Robbie Bowen from Titans PR, and I turned to him. I said, "Man, that darn Khalif Raymond, man, he plays with a sense of urgency. He runs his route, and just watching him through the drills, listen, You got to respect that.
Now, and Vrabel loves those guys.
Yeah, I mean, he loves those guys. And I'm saying, like, you know, I'm not projecting him to have a huge impact in the passing game. I don't think it's going to happen. But still, you got to tip your cap to guys like that.
Who's going to kick for the Tennessee Titans on Sunday?
I think it's going to be Cody Parkey. You know? Yeah, we have until, what, 3 o'clock tomorrow to know for sure. But if suck up, now that would be cold, man.
Yeah.
Imagine that, right? Cody Parkey gets on the plane and like, suck up gets on the plane. Listen, if I'm Cody Parkey, I see suck up getting on that plane. I'm like, bro, listen, man, leave me here, man.
Like, can I just chill here?
Send me back where I need to go. Like, you're not going getting ready to have me travel on this plane.
I'll just hit Broadway tonight. I'll just hang out.
So, long story. I think it's going to be Parkey. It'll be Parkey.
So you think next week probably?
Yeah, next week is the deadline.
Right.
So, you know, they'll have to make a corresponding move. Obviously, that would be releasing Parkey. But next week is because that's the third week. It's going to be then. Vrabel was asked about Suckup, and he said, man, listen, you guys aren't going to catch me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once he's back on the roster, that's when we'll make a decision.
Well, and look, he's one of the best players because the kicker is important, and obviously the Titans have had their struggles in the kicking game this year because Suckup has been injured. But at the same time, Ryan Suckup at, you know, 65-70%, I mean, you don't want to risk further injury,
right,
and all of that. So if he's not ready to go, then you just kind of have to ride it out with Cody Parkey.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not ready to go next week, then, hey, look, you got to let it ride, man. Let it roll, you know what I mean? And here's the thing. Parkey, man, he made a 51-yarder. You know what I mean? So it's not like this dude doesn't have talent. He set the record for most points in a season as a rookie. The dude could kick the football, mm-hmm. man. Like, everybody has hiccups, man. He had the hiccup in Chicago in that game, the doink, doink, whatever, whatever. But make no mistake about it, before he had, like, they signed the dude to a deal. Like, they felt like he was their guy.
Could be worse. You could be the Patriots and bringing in Nick Folk.
Yikes.
I saw that, and I was like, wait, what? Wasn't that guy kicking in the AAF?
Hey, man.
I think he was. Nick Folk.
I was surprised they cut old boy from Ohio State, man. Nugent.
Yeah.
You know, but, and you know, he was on my fantasy team too, man. I had to get him up out of there. You know what I mean? Speaking of fantasy, hey, listen, man, let me tip my cap to my guy, man, Buck Rising. You know what I mean? I was able to get me a little trade in. I got young Tyler Lockett on my squad now. You know what I'm saying? Robert Woods and Miles Sanders for Tyler Lockett. I'm 2 for 3 in my fantasy teams. I got Lockett on 2 of my teams now. I can't get him in the ESPN, the NFL Nation Fantasy League. It's just not happening.
Well, at least 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And
yes, sir.
Shout out to Buck for making that happen for you.
That's right.
That's the first nice thing I think I've heard him do.
Hey, man, he took one for the team, man. Team Davenport all the way.
Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport, Calvin Smith behind the glass. It is Chase and TD. So the Titans have put back-to-back wins together. Ryan Tannehill, that era is looking pretty good, or the Jeffrey Simmons era, however you want to slice that pie. How can they keep this going? We'll discuss that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. America got a thing for this gangster. Thank you, Rashawn. Welcome back in. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport hanging out. Rashawn Evans, a guy that has been in the player to watch category a few times this year for the Tennessee Titans here on the show. So they've put together back-to-back wins. They sit at 500. That's how we started the show. The offense, okay, starting to click. Not perfect by any means, but starting to get there. And also the defense, pretty darn good as well. But how do they keep this winning formula going, Teron?
Really, it's all about continuing to be efficient on offense. And granted, you want to take your occasional shot. Ryan Tannehill has to complete a pass in which the ball travels 20 yards. Wow, Calvin, you hear me?
Talking about air yards over here. I love it.
He has to complete a pass in which the ball travels 20 yards or more down the field. They have to do that. That's where the slogo opportunity with A.J. Brown or even Corey Davis, that's where they have to do that. But for the most part, it's all about not turning the football over. Continue to score in the red zone like they've been doing. And they just have to play complementary to the defense. And that's one third of the formula. The second part of the formula is continue to do what they're doing on defense, man. I mean, this is a team that allowed one offense to score over 20 points against them, and that was the Bucks last week. Mike Evans,
it was only 23.
And it was 23. You almost had 200 yards out of one receiver.
Yeah.
And they scored 23 points. So, you know, that's an excellent job by the defense to keep the game close, right? So that's their job. Always keep the game close. This offense, let's face it, is not explosive. It just isn't. So that being said, they have to keep them in the game. The third part of it is to win the field position battle. You have one of the best – listen, Brett Kern, you know, he could literally flip the field. He's someone that will always
when Vrabel's not trying to kill him on a fake field goal.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man. You know, but he's a key part of that field position. You know, and that being said, this is where the Darius Jennings thing. You know, hey, but Raymond had a 45-yard kick return. He gave them really good field position, a new career high. His previous was 40 yards with the Giants. So you know. They have to win the field position. Now, with all of that in that formula, 22 has to have a big part of that too.
Yeah.
Because, listen,
now, man, we're cranking the truck up again.
It's starting to get cold out there.
Yeah.
Right? And granted, the Titans will be cold, just like the other team will be cold. So it's not like one team won't be cold. But as you get rolling into November, right, and then December, that's when it's time to really, really – lean on the run. And I tell you some things that are interesting because I looked some stuff up with Derrick Henry, right? And, you know, we're looking at him and we're saying, hey, you know what? He's not really doing that well. You know what I mean? 3.9 yards or 3.8 yard average per carry. As Calvin pointed out before, you have to take into account the situations he's being asked to carry the football. But yards after contact, he's tied for fourth, 3.9. Yeah. So, you know, it's clear that he's doing what he needs to do. He's a guy that, I mean, you look at some of the stats, right? Since 2018, he has 17 rushing touchdowns, a second to Todd Gurley, who has 23. You look at yards total rushing since 2018, he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's sixth behind Zeke, Elliott, McCaffrey, Chris Carson, believe it or not, from Seattle. Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, and then Derrick Henry with 1,640.
They got to use him more, get him going, especially this week. But what's interesting is last week he only had 16 carries, 75 yards, average 4.7. Okay, not terrible. But five of those rushes were negative plays. And he still managed 75 yards.
Yeah, I mean, listen – He's getting hit. Like, he's one of the guys that I think he has. I think he's top five in the amount of negative runs. You know,
I think he leads the league.
As
of last week, he did, and he had a lot of negative runs this week. So I'm assuming he still does.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But again, this goes back to the trickery of the running game with Derrick Henry. You'll have a negative, and then he'll pop a 34-yarder.
Right.
Or a 40-plus yarder like he did that was called back. That gullet Michael Poole. You know what I mean? Or even, you know, that fumble that where he needed the ball out of his hands, he could have got extra yards. But it's funny. You say give him the ball more, right? And I was scrambling. I found my notepad. I saw what I was looking for now. Through eight games last year, he carried the football 90 times, 300 yards, 3.3 average. He had two touchdowns, and his long was 14 yards. Safe to say he's done better than that this year. One of the things that
– and the hope is he gets better in the next
eight. I don't think he has another December like he did, but one of the things that Arthur Smith has done a good job of is keeping it consistent for him. 2019, this year through eight games, 151 carries. So we saw a 61 carry increase through eight games. 581 yards. He's still at 3.8 yards per carry. Five touchdowns already rushing the ball. Remember, he has one or maybe even two, one receiving. 34 yards is his long. That happened last week. That's something to focus on. He has zero runs of 40 or more yards. This is a guy that will get you those
that can pop
from
those
time to
ones,
time.
Yeah.
So you mix in those big runs, that yards per carry to 3.8 increases. I think this is good. But one thing that you have to be careful of, and you saw this happen to DeMarco Murray in Dallas where he got all those carries, then they got him up out of there, right? They got him up out of there, but what did they have to do 2 years later? They ended up having to use an early pick on some guy named Ezekiel Elliott because that is an offense that relies on running the football. This offense does too, and that's why I think it's important to keep Derrick Henry here in Nashville. But one other thing to look at, right, a guy who kind of is similar to Derrick Henry, Larry Johnson, right? Big back. One of the things that is different is you saw Johnson, like he would take a little more punishment with his running style. But you look at him in 2005 and 2006, this guy, and the reason why I'm mentioning Larry Johnson is because through eight games, Henry has 151 carries. So if you take and you duplicate that, that gives you 302. That's a lot of carries. Larry Johnson had 336 carries in 2005, 1,750 yards. 2006, he had 416 carries, 1,759 yards, 20 TDs. Why do I mention that? Because these were back-to-back years. They juiced him. They used him up. And then in the next 2 years, you saw him decline. And then he was up out of there. So I think when you're looking at Derrick Henry in this contract, you have to kind of balance both of these things. Shoot.
Because that, if I mean, they're using him. He's getting these carries, but how will that factor in with the contract of they can go back and they can look just like you did of how much that they've used him? I mean, is that going to factor into what John Robinson may offer him and then what he could get on the open market?
I think it will factor into what he could get in the open market and what Robinson will offer him because, I mean, I made the analogy before, you know, a caravan, right? A Dodge minivan is more useful to me with a family than it is to you without one. Derrick Henry is more useful to the Titans than he is to another team. You put him on the Chiefs, you put him on, he's not useful to those teams. He's useful to the Titans. So his value here is going to be increased. And I mean, frankly, the way I look at it, this is year one of the juicing Derrick Henry, right? He'll probably get high 200s, maybe 300 carries. He doesn't get hit a lot, but he is a physical runner. So we saw what happened with Larry Johnson, right? And how the crash kind of happened with him. It happened with Eddie George too. Like once he started to get, so you have to be aware of that. Both sides of the party have to be aware of that. So this is why a 2-3 year deal with a little bit more money bumped up early is going to be the best option for both parties because now Derek could get the money that he needed, have the production that he needed, and then, you know, they could take another look at this later down the line, you know, and maybe get him another year or whatever, an extension to that contract. That's the way I look at it.
Derrick Henry currently ninth in the NFL in rushing. And look, you just – does he get better? But I think with Ryan Tannehill running this offense, what we've seen out of the passing game, that can only help the running game. They complement each other. And what I said a few weeks ago, what I liked was the balance that Arthur Smith had in the play calling, that it was pretty much 50-50 pass and run. That, I believe, is how you can get production out of Derrick Henry, but also preserve him at the same time.
I like that balance. I definitely do. And, you know, here's the thing. And Derrick Henry is really good against the box, right? Like eight in the box. He's really good against that. Mm-hmm. He gets to the second level. He does a really good job of being able to break a tackle and take it the distance. But you have to do something to offset that. And this goes back to what I was saying and what Calvin has said frequently regarding the air yards. You have to do some things to stretch the field because it works hand in hand. Like you run to be able to pass, you pass to be able to run. You have to have that balance, that flow together, and they don't have it right now.
Tron Davenport of ESPN. I am Chase McCabe, Calvin Smith behind the glass. When we come back, the Mac Daddy of the week. We do that, of course. It is a tradition every week here on the show, plus players we're watching for on both offense and defense of both the Carolina Panthers and the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Who's the Mac Daddy?
Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy. You tell the mic is there, but I'm a Mac Daddy.
Chase and TD, rolling right along. ESPN, 102.5 The Game, every Friday from 6 to 8. Talking with TD, coming up next. You can rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes and Google Play, Spotify as well, wherever you get your podcasts. You also get this show as a part of that, so check that out or stay tuned for Talking with TD. Now, the Mac Daddy of the week, this is easy. It's easy for me this week. Jonnu, gotta be. Jonnu Smith, 78 yards, 6 catches, and a touchdown on 7 targets. Had a monster game. He keeps getting better and better in the absence of Delanie Walker. And, you know, we saw this some last year when Delanie Walker was out before Jonnu got hurt. But really good to see Jonnu Smith having the production that he's having.
It really is. And it's crazy because last year, around this time, you had a guy wide open on a corner route, and he got stared down and didn't get the ball. You know, and everybody was talking about, oh, Jonnu this, Jonnu that. He's a bust, et cetera. Pump the brakes. Look what you got now. You know what I mean? So that's an excellent choice. He is a guy that is just absolutely confident catching the football. You see it. And, you know, it goes back to confidence is built through repetition. You know what I mean? And comfort is built through repetition. He's on the jugs machine. He's doing everything he has to do to get better as a player. And the thing that's really – well, two things that are really good about it is the guy's strong in his faith. And then in addition to that, he's just keep plugging away and he's not comfortable and satisfied with where he is. He wants to keep getting better.
I know this sounds sounds silly, but I noticed this when I was in the locker room after the win on Sunday. You know, for years, Delanie Walker would hold court with the media, and he would talk as long as the media needed him. You'd have some that would come in from the Mike Vrabel press conference. Delanie still be there. He would talk. I saw the same thing with Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
Like Jonnu was doing that after the game on Sunday, that he held court over in the corner of the locker room. And everybody went over and talked to him, and then if some left and another one walked up, he answered the questions. That's showing, A, he gets it, B, leader, and, you know, you get rewarded when you have big games too.
And, you know, there's a reason why Jonnu is so real, right? And there's a story behind him. Mm-hmm. I wrote about this last year before the Eagles and Titans played, and, I mean, this is a guy that at a young age, I'm talking about single digits, like before he was 10 years old. You know, he lost his father to a tragic tow truck accident. You know what I mean? He lost his best friend. In college, he finds out his best friend was shot and killed in Philly. This is a guy who, you know, moved from Philly to Florida, and, you know, he's someone that was able to get there. I think it was with his aunt he moved with. Yeah, it was his aunt. And things just turned around for him. You know what I mean? So these are the stories that don't really get told, right? You see the end result, and you're like, wow, that's a great dude. But the story of how he developed into that great dude doesn't get told, and I think that's something that, you know, it's just a testament to him, just what he's been through.
So let's get to this week. Players that we're going to be watching for on offense. I'll start with you, and we'll start with the Titans.
Man, listen, I'm going to tell you like this, right? Jimmy Sexton, listen, when Derrick Henry gets that deal, bruh, can I get a cut? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Week in, week out, he's basically week in and week out, but he's just a player that I love to watch. And I think anytime you have a defense that is giving up 135 yards on the ground, that is a defense that you need to run the football against. I think it's all about Derrick Henry this week. They need to continue to work him, and then work everything off of him. So he's my player to watch for the Titans on offense.
Before I give you mine, I have to just tell you what I just saw on TV that you're going to laugh at. You too, Calvin. So WWE had a big event in Saudi Arabia. A lot of their superstars could not get back, so they've kind of had to put together, you know, something last minute tonight. Pat McAfee is doing commentary for WWE tonight on Fox. And that just made me laugh. For me, Jahmyr Douglas.
Hmm.
Because Jahmyr Douglas is going to be filling in for Ben Jones. He's going to be the center. The center is one of the most – I mean, that's the quarterback of the O-line. That's the guy that touches the football before the quarterback. I have some concerns about Jahmyr Douglas playing that position and being on the same page with Ryan Tannehill. So I'm going to be paying attention to the center position on Sunday.
I can't knock you for that. I'll be paying attention to it also because that's a key part of the guy that I said to watch, and that's Derrick Henry.
I think people undervalue the ball going from the hands of the center through his legs to the quarterback in that exchange. And how many times do you see a fumble off the exchange between the center and the quarterback? And if you're not used to playing with someone, that can happen.
And not only that part going smoothly, but the part of not stepping on the quarterback's foot and causing him to fall.
Yeah.
That's a key part too, man. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they have some things to work on.
All right. How about for the Carolina Panthers?
22 twos, man. Hey, how could you not have Christian McCaffrey as a guy to watch? We're, again, 56% of the touches, 46% of the production. He is the player to watch. That offense revolves around him more than the daggone quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, I'm not going to pick the same guy, but it's very easy. It's an easy choice. I'll go DJ Moore, somebody we talked to with David Newton about earlier. He's a player. He's their top receiver. And then Christian McCaffrey, I mean, Curtis Samuel deserves some credit as well. But DJ Moore, somebody that you definitely have to pay attention to, because when Christian McCaffrey's not making plays, then that's a direction I see Kyle Allen going.
Yeah, and if you watch some of his Maryland tape, I was at his pro day, as a matter of fact. He's good, man. That dude is tough. He gets you yards after the catch. He's a good player. So I like the pick, man. I like the pick. Defensively, man, listen, I have to work off of McCaffrey, right? Mm-hmm. I think Jayon Brown is the key. Again, I'm not putting Jayon Brown in man-on-man against him. I'm not doing that, but I still think he's the guy to watch because he's their best option covering him. They like to run those, they'll go play action and then they'll slip McCaffrey into the flat. Jayon Brown is very good at defending those type of things, so I think he's the key for the Titans defense.
Defensively for the Titans, for me, I'm going to feed off you a little bit because I think the pressure and, you know, even though Christian McCaffrey, Jayon Brown's going to have to watch out for him, I think the pressure that Kyle Allen is going to be under could possibly force him to make some mistakes. I'm going Logan Ryan.
Oh, okay.
I'm going Logan Ryan. All
right. I like that.
Because I think the secondary, once again, they're hungry. They're ball hawks. I mean, they like that football.
And the good situation for the Titans is Adoree is back, right? Adoree Jackson is back. But in addition to that, when you look at the receivers, as a defensive coordinator, as a DB coach, I would be confident in my guys going against their guys. So I think that's an opportunity. You blitz your safety or your nickel. Typically, they're going to be in man coverage. So good option there.
Yeah, and, you know, the big guy, Big Jeff.
That's where I thought you were going.
Well, you're
going
to have to watch him because Jarrell Casey's out. So, you know, he's going to just ramp up the workload for Big Jeff. That was my first time talking to him this week. We had him on Darren Donick and Chase. I am a big fan of that guy.
He's a good dude, man.
You feel it that he has a passion. He's really excited to be here. He's a hard worker and somebody that's going to be very good for this Titans team. How about Carolina?
Carolina, I'm going Eric Reed. I think, again, this goes back to my Derrick Henry thing. This is a team that is going to sell out to stop the run. So what happens there, you're going to see more post safety with Trey Boston in center field, Eric Reed in the box. I asked Vrabel about him today. He said that Reed is like an extra linebacker in the box against the running game. That's a good thing typically for the defense. I don't think it's going to be this week, though.
Well, you left the easy one for me.
Listen, man, I took McCaffrey. That would be very greedy of me. I'm a very good partner in crime.
Yes,
man.
You are.
Good PNC for you.
Luke Kuechly. You're not going to stop him. You're not going to shut him down. You can only hope to contain him.
Mm-hmm.
And that with the offensive line in the shape that it's in with Jahmyr Douglas at center, they tie hand in hand because I'm going to be paying attention to Jahmyr Douglas on offense. I am paying attention on Carolina's defense to Luke Kuechly, because it's set up for him to have a big day if they're not careful.
Yeah, excellent pick. No-brainer.
And that's it. That's all the analysis that you need.
And that's all, folks.
So how do you see this one turning out on Sunday? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel very good about it for the Titans.
In my predictions I submitted, I do have the Panthers winning this game. I think, as Vrabel said, they're going into a hornet's nest. It's going to be a tough battle. I have the Panthers winning the game, though.
The tough part about this part of the schedule that they're getting into. Now, I said for the previous three games, you would be happy with 2 out of 3. Well, they took 2 out of 3. So, okay, you've won 2 in a row. You're at 4-4 now. The schedule's going to get tougher and tougher. I mean, Carolina, they're fighting for their lives. I mean, they're not going to win that division. New Orleans is going to win that division. But they're fighting for a wild card in the NFC. So they know what they have on the line. The Titans, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's maybe tough to say that Carolina is better than the Titans. I think they're pretty close together. I just think being at home and with the things that they know after just the butt-whooping they took last week against San Francisco, I just give the edge to Carolina. And the schedule for the Titans.
The schedule.
It's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. Yeah. I mean, the Saints, you got the Chiefs coming to town. Here in a couple weeks with Mahomes probably coming back. You got 2 games against the Texans. You got to play Indy and Jacksonville again. That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. I had 20-17 Panthers. Did you have a score or no?
I didn't have a score, okay. But I like you said 20-17. I'll say 27-23 Panthers.
David Newton picked the Panthers 27-17.
A name that we haven't brought up as we leave, North Turner. Deserves a lot of respect with that offense, especially Kyle Allen. He's a big part of that. He's a quarterback whisperer, so that's something you have to pay attention to. He is Teron Davenport. I'm Chase McCabe, Calvin Smith behind the glass. That's going to do it. Stick around. Talking with TD. That is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.